Well, I guess I'll first orient by noticing that this is the first evening of a weekend event of teaching. And my understanding is that the Friday night is sort of an independent thing, and then people may show up for Saturday and Sunday, which is another independent thing, without having come tonight. I'm not sure of that. I think that might be the case.
Yes.
In which case, some of what we're teaching tonight will be, abbreviated but offered tomorrow, which is all good. And that tonight we'll try to share with you, in case you hadn't heard what we're doing. I've had people show up at 10-day Insight Dialogue retreats thinking they were silent retreats. So what I'm saying is not idle. That we're actually joining together to investigate the relational nature of the human experience. And if the human body mind is in fact relational, and the Buddha's teachings are about the suffering and freedom of the human experience, then those teachings must be like the human body mind, just as relational as they are individual. And so here, that includes our meditation practices, our understanding of all that Buddhist stuff that maybe some of you have heard about, like suffering and the end of suffering, the nature of hunger, the nature of freedom. So just to say that's what we're doing. So we will have times of some silence. We'll also have times of being together and cultivating the same mindfulness, the same calm or concentration while we're with others as we do when we're alone with our eyes closed or whatever. And that we'll be offering instruction on that, and we'll be here to support you as we do that. So hopefully that's why you're here. And we also have, of course, this dual going on of online and in this physical space. In fact, there's far more people online, just to let you know. So if it comes to like a, recruiting for a basketball team made up of online players versus on the room, they're going to have a bigger pool to draw from. So perhaps I've introduced myself by saying all those things. My name is Gregory Kramer, and probably if you really want to know more about me, you could do that with the help of the interwebs. But I'll just say that I've been teaching insight meditation for 45 years, developing insight dialogue for the last 30 years. And I'm really happy to be here to offer whatever I can. And I know that no matter what I do, that I come out ahead because I get to offer it with Anna Brown, whom I love and respect. So it's all good for me.
Well, thank you for that pith. This is what Insight Dialogue is. My name is Anna Brown. That's my first name. Also, you're welcome to call me AB for short. I could have given the headline, just those handholds for concept, you know? I live in Seattle. I work as a trauma therapist and facilitator of group spaces, organizations, particularly around racial justice and gender. And I teach insight dialogue and meditation. I come more from the Tibetan tradition of Tibetan Buddhism for 25 years and then the Zen Koan tradition for about 10 years. So I have a little bit different flavor in the Dharma, including that I use the R's and say the Dharma, not the Dhamma, in terms of how I share. And that I came to Insight Dialogue about 15 years ago. And after many years of practice, monastic practice, long retreat practice, and was fairly astounded by the relational aspect. To even right now, sitting in this room, looking at each of your faces, and sensing this twin reality of awareness, just awareness. And this deep particularity of each human, each universe in each of these beings is always awe-inspiring. Yeah. And that what we get to discover and practice in relational meditation is always a mystery. And I'm, as always, love teaching with Greg because I get to learn so much from him. So I'm quite, mind is happy with being here together and getting to continue learning from you, Greg.
So, go ahead.
Do you want to say anything more before I name some of that?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. I want to say that because our bodies, our minds are so profoundly, you might say, not just sensitive, but there's a responsive, a kind of a orienting to the world always in a thousand unseen, delicate ways, as well as the stuff that we think we know by mindfulness. There's so much more always. Yeah. Mindfulness, even when it's astute, just catches parts of that. And so we're always taking in the world, even as you hear me speak. Really what's going on in this moment is you are reading me in ways that the whole history of human evolution has enabled you to read me, to know something of how I feel or how safe or how dangerous I am. To understand my language is already like sheer magic, because the things that are in my mind are reaching your mind. And we take that for granted. But it's an astonishing sensitivity, an astonishing capacity. And it's powerful. So when we bring the power of that relatedness together with the power of Dhamma, we've got something that can be of tremendous wholesome value. Guided by that wisdom, the wisdom of love, the wisdom of generosity, the wisdom of knowing suffering, the wisdom of impermanence, so much wisdom that guides this very power, However, most of the time, and certainly in the world at large, this power, this sensitivity, this responsiveness is not guided by Dhamma. Even when we intend it, when we intend to bring our wisdom and our love forward, we get lost. At least I do. I don't know if you do. I do sometimes, right? So, and when this responsiveness, this power, this comes into interaction, it can lead to enormous difficulty. The same power that can awaken us can drive us to anger and fear and hatred and even stealing and killing and so on. It's big stuff. So we enter this retreat with humility, with care, with delicacy. Part of that is straight ahead what in the Dhamma world is sila, ethics. So, you know, non-harming. I don't think any of you are going to kill anybody else here, but non-harming goes much further than that. It's much wider than just not killing. And not stealing. Maybe no one wants my leftover Brussels sprouts. And if you do, actually, she's got them. You get the leftover risotto or something. Okay, but I don't think that's going to happen. But you don't want to steal the words and experiences and share them elsewhere. You don't want to, you know, mishandle your experiences here. So, you know, confidentiality is really an ethic. It's not some sort of, it's an act of kindness. It's an act of relational sanity to provide that safety. And speaking the truth, not lying. When you speak in meditation and the mind, your mind is sensitive, the mind, the heart of the person you're speaking to is sensitive. You don't want to pollute that with inauthenticity, with lying. You never have to say in inside dialogue what you don't want to say. You don't have to speak like in the spill your guts kind of truth. Just the nature of experience is all that matters here. But just don't lie. And harsh language and all that kind of stuff. It's an environment that we create very intentionally for the safety, not just that allows emotional vulnerability, but that allows genuine Dhamma liberation, recognizing the nature of self and not self, stuff like that. So, welcome, and I hope that you feel our care, and over the next couple days, the care of each other.
Thank you. So right on the heels of that and into our very relative conditioned selves, like each being here in this room, here online, has a whole history of being shaped in relation to others. Whether that is in your family of origin, your education, all these places that as these exquisitely sensitive organisms, we have been shaped and conditioned in our body minds. So that when we meditate with another human, I mean, we can meditate with trees as well. There are all kinds of wonderful things. Some of that conditioning can get touched. All the way from places where we just feel tender and vulnerable to places that we've experienced profound misattunement and trauma. So the invitation is to really steward your own practice well. We're not just going for like blow the doors off, but for a deep loving care for the sensitivity of your own organism. Related to that as well is all our social conditioning along lines of power and oppression. So just as much as we are shaped in our families and siblings, we are shaped by our positionality around gender, race, land and indigeneity, immigration, sexuality. And know that that's in the space, always. We all have our blind spots around it. So first is just to acknowledge we are always in socially conditioned space. If you come from an identity that tends to be marginalized, really the invitation is to care well for yourself. If it feels safer to practice with someone who you perceive has a shared identity in the room or online, you can reach out to the Zoom host and request. They'll do their best to pair you with someone of a shared identity. And to, especially in these times where being centered and marginalized is in our world so violent, so intensely violent. To not only care well for yourself, but to actually be attuned that others may be in vulnerable places around their identities that are centered or marginalized. And to hold that with care. All right. Anything else you want to add to that, Greg?
No, I think that's beautiful.
Okay. Some water first. Can I use your bell? I'm not seeing the. Oh, there's a bell over in the corner. For online people, Greg is getting a bell for me right now. He hasn't disappeared. Great, thank you. So we'll sit silently for about 15 minutes or so. And I will offer some guidance as we do so. Can folks online hear the bell? Great, okay. So beginning by letting attention rest with an anchor That could be the breath in the nose or chest or belly. Or simply the body sensations of hands or legs, your body sitting. But it's useful to choose one to begin. Because attention to the body is the readily accessible doorway to present moment. The body is never outside the present moment. So that when we bring attention, mindfulness to the body, breath, notice if the mind comes more present here now. And thoughts will come and go. It is a myth that meditation is to get rid of thoughts. They're just another phenomena like the sound of a car driving by. We can simply notice when attention has gotten fused or absorbed into thought stream. And very gently, just allow it to return to your anchor. So as attention returns to the breath or body, this mindfulness is a simple knowing. The mind's natural capacity, its inherent capacity, to know, to be aware. And as we continue to return attention over and over to breath, body, that quality of kind knowing can begin to become established. As we pause from this kind of tumbling forward momentum of the mind and thought stream, into the simplicity of body now. The mind's natural knowing can be touched. This is called mindfulness. This simple capacity to know, to attend and be aware naturally. When you notice attention has gotten wrapped up in mental movies of the past or future, any judgments or evaluations, including of your own practice, you can pause. Simply recognize thought as thought. And come back to mindfulness, resting with the experience of your breath or body. With a sense of warmth and friendliness, even. And here in any moment, we can pause and be aware. There's no need to force it. In fact, you can't even make awareness go away. But in the moment of pausing, we can know the moment again. With a sense of warmth and kind curiosity. What's it like now? Whatever is happening in the body and mind, when we pause, can be touched, tasted with mindfulness. The Pali word sati. Comfort and discomfort, pleasant and unpleasant, we can come to simply know and be with.
We'd like to invite you to extend this mindfulness to walking. And the way we'd like to integrate that with our evening is we're just shy of halfway through the evening. And so maybe it's a good time to also attend to the body, use the restrooms if you need to, and if you don't, that's fine. But either way, Anna Brown's guidance, this sense of the body will always tell you where this moment is. Just explore what that's like as you walk. If you need to use the restroom, fine. And then we'll move from the walking, when I know everybody's here, we'll integrate that with finding a meditation partner to sit with and have cushions facing each other, okay? We don't need to do that yet. So just mindfully standing. And as you're standing, I'll share with you that one of my teachers, Ajahn Sobhan, would refer to these gaps in between, these transitions, as that's when delusion tends to come back in. That's when we go off to whatever the mind is making up. So here we are. And so you might watch what your first steps are. There's very few people. There are many, many chairs. So just you need to make up how you're going to walk. Feel free to go out into the lobby as well. And we'll have, you know, 5, 6, 7 minutes, and then we'll come back. Thank you. You want to say something? Go ahead.
Just for the folks online, can you hear me?
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
You can also play with this instruction of this continuity, that as you transition from seated to standing, to perhaps taking a sip of water or using the restroom, come back to this body, here now, sense, as this doorway for the mind to enter and rest in the present moment. When we return, we will do meditation partners in the room, and the Zoom folks will be creating breakout rooms. They won't send you off until we ask them to. But we request that you have your camera on. It's really essential in an online practice that you can see your partner and your partner can see you as much as is possible, unless you have other disability accommodations you need to make, which is fine.
Yeah. And if they're going to leave.
Exactly. If you are choosing not to practice in a dyad, it will make it far easier for the Zoom folks if you would leave the Zoom. Otherwise, they will pair you and someone will be left in the lurch who wants to practice.
So, bringing the keen awareness of the meditating mind into the experience of relational contact is quite a thing. And so there are meditation instructions that evolved to support that. because it is this, you know, when you have two or more, I'll speak of two because it's easier, two or more people together, and there's all of that sensitivity that we've mentioned earlier, then naturally the mind, which is already often busy or agitated or fearful or desirous or whatever it is, well, now it's all of those things and directly with another person to whom it's sensitive, even if you don't know them at all. And so how do we recollect the sati? How do we remember awareness when things are in that, with those conditions? Something very stimulating, and it's right there, and you're becoming more aware. And the first guideline, the first meditation instruction of Insight Dialogue is astonishingly simple. It's just pause. Simple, but maybe not always easy to do, because that pause is exactly the return or the recollection of the awareness. So as I'm speaking now, as I pause, just look for yourself in the little bit of silence I provide. What am I aware of right now? That's a pause. You can, in that pause, do as we were practicing earlier, come home to the body and find the moment, because sometimes your mind is going to be far enough out because of what's been said or what you're thinking of saying or whatever, that, oh, I better come back to the body. That's the way to find the moment. But sometimes you just pause and you're aware of the mind state, or you have a sense of just noticing awareness, and that's enough. It will vary for your practice. But the point is, when you're talking, actually, especially at the beginning of your practice, as you're learning, actually stop and let the pause be manifested in your speaking so that you can find that moment. See what I'm saying? Really very simple. It's not complex. But just to actually practice the awareness, and interpersonally to have that pause makes a difference. Okay? Now, the funny thing is, that same pause, the same meditation guideline, applies when you're listening. So what's a pause when you're listening? What are you pausing from? Well, you're pausing from all of the activities, the judgments or the fears or the desires or the finishing someone's sentence in your mind, or your wandering thought because they weren't so interesting, or they didn't somehow compel you to listen, and you went off on typical distraction mind, right? Pause, come home. And in that moment, come home to the body, come home to the awareness, come home to being with the other person. You will find your way of pausing, and it will vary, it will move. But all of it has that common flavor of sati, of awareness, of mindfulness. Pause, mindfulness, while listening and while speaking. Does that make sound like a good place to start? Something you could actually try? We're going to give you actually something to talk about that gives you the opportunity to pause, okay? So, for our online friends, as Anna Brown said, you'll be paired going into rooms in just a moment. And if our local in real life friends could go ahead and mindfully stand. And if you walk around the room some with the awareness, and in a little bit I'll ring a bell, if you feel a wish, a need to practice with someone with whom you feel safer for some affinity reason that I wouldn't know, you can do that. You can go across the room to find that person, Or you can just walk, and when the bell rings, you'll have a meditation partner. I'll provide guidance for finding them, okay? So go ahead and take that walk. So pausing where you are right now, just feeling the body standing, noticing whatever you're aware of, but you know you're aware. And now, perhaps looking up and seeing if there's a meditation partner nearby, and go ahead and just set up two chairs or two cushions, whatever is suitable for you and your partner.
Maybe Ryan.
Is Ryan practicing? You're welcome to, friend. Yeah, great. I think now go into the rooms and then we'll broadcast into the rooms.
Angela, can you put people into their dyad breakout rooms?
And we'll broadcast the instructions, friends, into your room. So as you're sitting now, you don't need to look at me. My recommendation is just to let the mindfulness rest inwardly. Feel the body sitting. And just notice, what is it like right now being aware? Whatever you're aware of, don't worry about the object. Just notice the awareness. Ah, oh yeah. Knowing the body, knowing the mind, just like this.
Yeah, I already broadcast.
It's already broadcasting, thank you. And I'm going to invite you to take just a moment now to decide who's going to speak first, because as we begin practice, it can be helpful to separate speaker and listener as we get familiar. So go ahead, open your eyes, and just decide who will speak first, who will listen first. Yeah, very good. Okay, and now again, just resting quietly. So here we are, actually sitting with another human being. And just as we have been our entire lives, in this very moment, we continue to be sensitive to each other. Now, in this practice, in this very first practice of our teaching tonight, I'm going to actually offer you the opportunity to choose what feels appropriate for you. You could, when I ring the bell and you begin speaking, that this is first the first speaker, you could notice your sensitivity with the other person you're with and name that. However, that can also feel like challenging or difficult. And so I want to give you the opportunity to have the choice also to call to mind a person with whom you feel comfortable and safe. That's a specific person. And when the bell rings and you begin speaking, you pause, call this person to mind, and notice the in this moment response in the body mind. maybe there's a smile, or maybe there's a feeling across the chest, or maybe there's images that arise. But what will help you to speak with mindfulness and to become aware of the functioning of the body-mind is the pause. That's right now where the magic is. You're practicing pausing. So if it's noticing the person response to the person you're with, it might be something like, there's a pause, there's a silence, and your eyes are open, you're noticing. You say, when I look at you, I feel I want to look away, and maybe you pause right there and notice how that is. Or maybe you say, when I look at you, I'm really interested, and I find myself drawn in. But before you go too far, you pause, give yourself a moment, and there's the awareness right there. So it might be this person here. It might be a person in your life now who's not here, but when you call them to mind, it's as if they are, and you speak what's true now. So it's a present moment experience. You're not telling stories about it. You're noticing present moment experience of the sensitivity of being a relational human being. With the support of the meditation guideline, pause. Practicing the pause as you listen and as you speak. And noticing what you're aware of in this very moment. The pause gives you this, it's like a glimpse into this responsivity of the body-mind. So what do you notice right now? Sort of any reflections or any shimmer from the interpersonal contact, thoughts or bodily sensations known by awareness. Pause, just like this. And the person who was just speaking could reflect, did I pause? How was my practice also? And the person who was listening, did I pause? Or did I sort of fall into the words? Pause, touch this moment. And now with the new speaker, new listener, once again, your primary practice is pausing, and to support you in that, you're invited to speak. What do you notice now of this sensitivity to another human being? And it's your choice. Is it the person you're with now and the experience in this moment, remembering to pause as you do so? Or when you pause, do you call to mind someone who's not here, who's safe, who perhaps brings some happiness or peace? And in this moment, what's the response? So mindfulness is still knowing present moment experience, even though it's initiated by this recollection, supported by the pause, mindfulness, meditating together. Pause as you listen, as you speak. So we'll continue with this same dyad. Only now we'll release the form of taking turns. So this is getting closer to insight dialogue in its actual texture of meditating together. And one aspect of that is that you have now the opportunity to notice. You know, you don't know who's going to speak and who's going to listen. So the aliveness between you is now, let's say, genuine or activated. So when your partner pauses while speaking, you can also notice, does that call me to a brighter mindfulness? Or if you're speaking and you notice your partner's attentive listening, that's also like a manifestation of some degree of sati, of mindfulness. So that then brightens yours, right? So you really begin to see, this is the kind of the support that can come with, of course, the challenge of having another person in front of you. There's this support. So the contemplation will continue. It's noticing the interpersonal sensitivity, relational sensitivity. And again, please do feel free, if you find it awkward for any number of reasons, to speak of it with this person here. You can still reflect on someone who's safe and say what that's like. That's okay, because when you're saying it, you're still in the moment with your meditation partner. But if you want to come fully into the moment and not have that other element, here you are, two actual human beings in the moment with awareness. However, because of the aliveness of the back and forth, the pause is even more important. It's essential to your meditation practice. So I hope you enjoy your practice. And you don't even know who's going to speak first. Have a good time. Pausing. And noticing exactly what it's like this moment. And you could just take a moment to ask yourself internally, quietly, how's the pause going? Am I pausing while I speak and establishing sati even more strongly? Am I pausing while I'm listening and receiving mindfully the words as they rise and fall? Am I with my partner in cultivating awareness? The contemplation continues. Pause.
And pausing again with a new voice, as you've been moment by moment investigating, using awareness to investigate what it's like to be this sensitive human organism with another sensitive human organism. And so to drop in one last layer for tonight, in playing with pause, we're going to add in a concept. Which is to recognize that your meditation partner has chosen to be here tonight, in person or online, because of some kind of interest, some kind of inclination towards relational practice. Towards being deeply present with another. In this case, you. Notice, like, pause. Mindfulness. And notice what happens in you when you recognize some aspect of your partner's intention by the mere fact that they are here practicing with you now. Pause. Rely on pause. No speaker, listener. Pause. And pausing again. And you'll have just one last minute as you recognize you could not do this practice without your meditation partner. To just notice whatever arises in you with that recognition. And then we'll come back to the larger circle in the room and we'll close the Zoom rooms. Yeah. And you're welcome to speak your gratitude if there is some.
I thank all of you, both in person and online, for your practice tonight. And in a world that is so deeply ruptured, so falling apart, so hurting, and so relationally ragged, what we're doing can matter. So may all beings, those present and those not present, beings far and near, all beings seen and unseen, benefit from our time together. We share the merits of our practice in that way, in ways we know, in how we behave, and ways we don't know and can't know. May all beings who are suffering be free from suffering. May there be peace. May there be peace. May there be peace.